Normally at 2:30 we have Connor, but Connor is now as a full-time advocate for liberty with the Libertas Institute. He had some pressing matters, so we bumped him up to 1:30. If you have any questions for Connor, we're going to be, I'm guessing, talking about the legislative session because there was a lot to be talked about after last time. Connor, are you there?
I am, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing super. So I was just going on and on about Glenn Beck and how he's in some weird way calling himself a libertarian but then teaming up with Ann Coulter at the same time. The guy is just a mess.
I was listening in, and I want to give a qualified amen to what you're saying. I think with good reason that a lot of libertarians want to keep Glenn Beck at arm's length, right? I mean, he has many, people call them sins to atone for, but many past positions and support for candidates like Rick Santorum that really kind of puts a damper on putting faith in the guy, even though he claims to be libertarian and kumbaya, let's all work together. It's what we saw during the last campaign. It was offering a lot of praise for Ron Paul until things got dicey and he had to start making some very firm support, and then he went behind Rick Santorum and started denouncing Ron Paul. And so it's those type of things that really make me at least skeptical of his statements of, I'm one of you guys, you know, for the religious type, it's Jesus Christ saying there will be wolves come among you in sheep's clothing, you know, trying to eat the flock from within. And I think we see that here. Many people see Glenn Beck as a wolf in sheep's clothing and kind of have that initially cautious position, which I do. I've been very critical of the guy. I've written him open letters. I've written him, you know, direct emails and really call him out on a lot of stuff, which I think needs to happen. And if he is changing and if he is becoming more libertarian, then power to him. And I think, like the article said that you were reading, we welcome him, and that would be a wonderful thing. But until then, yeah, he does have to show consistent behavior in support of libertarianism generally. It doesn't need to be, you know, because there's all these flavors of libertarianism. It doesn't have to be anarcho-capitalism specifically or anything. But until he stops making some huge gaffes and supporting things that directly conflict with libertarianism, I think it's silly to take his words at face value and just claim that he's, you know, one of us.
Well, his reputation is well-earned for being inconsistent. I mean, yeah. How in the heck do you... It's just bothering that somebody that is that... I mean, because he is so influential, is going around calling himself a libertarian, and that is maybe becoming the gateway to liberty, is Glenn Beck. That's frightening, because at least if it's Ron Paul or Ayn Rand, you know that it's going to be at least principled. Maybe there's little tweaks here and there that have problems, but by and large, fairly principled. Whew. Anyway, so how are things going with regards to this legislative session?
Well, in fact, perhaps a good segue to bring us from Glenn Beck into this is that we see the same thing with people locally, right? Even if it's in your city, it could be at the state level, federally, whatever. You get people who on the campaign trail would consistently claim that they love the free market and want to support the Constitution and liberty. And I've said on your program for a long time, I say it elsewhere, that I think one of the biggest problems that we have isn't finding people who support liberty, because so many people claim that they do. Our biggest problem is the inconsistency with which those self-professed principles are then applied to public policy. It's really easy to find candidates, even Democrats, right? You get the Democrat, the state party chairman, who's also a state senator now, Jim DeBacchus.
Yeah.
And he claims in the Salt Lake Tribune the other day that, oh, I'm a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, right? So you take that on its own, unqualified statement, fine, great, he must support guns. But then he goes into the next, you know, clause in his sentence and he says, but we don't need, quote, war bullets on the streets. And he was saying how we need gun control and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, what are war bullets? I've never heard of war bullets as opposed to peace bullets, you know. And so it's really easy to find people who will agree with you on principle and claim to support the free market, claim to support the things that you and I and your listeners would all agree with. The problem that we see up here in the legislature and just in general is that people can't always apply for whatever reason. Maybe they're being pressured by a lobbyist. Maybe they have an emotional connection to the issue, which is a very common thing I'm increasingly finding. Maybe they simply just, you know, are hypocritically throwing out those words. They don't believe them, and then they're just, you know, violating that and don't really care. It's hard to say, you know, for what reason someone might inconsistently act based upon their previous words, but it's something we see over and over again. All these bills that are being passed by people who make these statements that I would agree with, you know, on their face value. It's hard to find those who will act likewise. That's our challenge, I think, up at the legislature right now. But there's several bills. I mentioned it before, just real quick again for your listeners. With the Libertas Institute, we're tracking all the bills that have any relation to life, liberty, and property, our three main areas of focus, or just liberty generally. And the hard thing for us is that many nonprofit groups and lobbying organizations and other interest groups, they have a very specific issue, right? They're focused on a very niche issue. And so maybe they're focused on three bills or eight bills or what have you, whereas us, we're looking at every single one of the many hundreds of bills that are coming out across the spectrum with no regard for what specific issue it has to do with, because whether it's education or transportation or adoption or whatever, all these bills are often violating liberty. And so we're tracking, I think, about 60 or 70 bills now out of the several hundred that are already out. More are coming out every day. And on our tracker on libertasutah.org/tracker, you can find the compilation of all the bills that we think are worth watching at the legislature right now. You can find out our position on them, a very brief summary of what it's about and why we think it's a good or a bad bill, and then you can track the progress. So I want to talk about a few, since our call last week, some of the more notable events and bills to be watching for. Jake, how much time do we have before the break?
We're at about 3 minutes before we got to take a commercial.
So let me get in really quick summary on the gun bills, and then we can continue with some other stuff. Last week was Gun Day. There was a day that the committee chairs had kind of consolidated committee hearings on the many gun bills that were working their way through the legislature. One bill, as I think we talked about in the past, would exempt individuals over the age of 21 from having to have a concealed carry permit to carry a weapon, and that passed the committee overwhelmingly. So that now goes to the House floor. Now, the permits would still exist. You can still get them if you want to carry, like, on a school campus, if you want the reciprocity with other states, which is a very popular thing. But if this bill would pass, it would not be required to obtain a permit to conceal carry a gun. And I should state that Governor Herbert has said that he likes the current law as it is, and he subscribes to the philosophy that if it's not broke, don't fix it. So whether or not, if it passes and the governor would veto it, remains to be seen, but he's at least initially skeptical. There's another great gun bill, HB 268 by Paul Ray, that would prevent law enforcement officials from charging someone or threatening to charge someone with disorderly conduct for simply carrying a gun. This is a tactic that police officers have used many times in the past. I know people to whom it's occurred, where they don't like someone open carrying a gun, but there's no threatening behavior, there's no brandishing or anything, and they say, hey, if you don't cover that up, I'm going to, you know, charge you with disorderly conduct. And this bill clarifies that simply carrying a gun is not in and of itself disorderly conduct.
It's funny you bring that up. I don't mean to interrupt, but I've got a clip that I want to play after your segment about that exact same thing where this kid knows the law and the cops try to harass him, and he's like, yeah. And it's brilliant.
It's very common. And law enforcement officials, it's kind of a preferred tactic because, you know, people will call them and say, oh, there's a guy carrying a gun, and rather than having to tell that person, well, that's lawful behavior and you can't do anything about it, they try and push it on the law-abiding, gun-toting citizen. So that would be a good bill, and that also passed the House committee last week and is slated the next couple of days to have consideration before the entire House floor for discussion, and then from there it would go on to the Senate. The other one, really quick, because I know we're bumping up against the break, is HB 114. This basically invalidates federal gun control laws that are passed in the future in anticipation of additional gun control, and says, you know, for these guns that are inside the United States, in the state of Utah, they're interstate commerce, you can't touch them, we're not going to allow any federal gun control laws enforced that are in contradiction to the Constitution, the Second Amendment, as well as Article 1, Section 6 of the Utah Constitution, both of which declare that the right, individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So that one has had a couple of committee hearings, it'll probably be heard again this week, and then if that passes, that would then also move on to the House floor. So those are kind of the three main gun bills that are working their way. There's some other little ones, but those ones have the main focus in the legislature.
So there are glimmers of hope.
Yeah, there's some good bills that are being passed. After the break, we'll probably get in all the bad stuff.
Okay, so guys, stay tuned. This is the stuff that affects you. This is the stuff that now we're lucky to have Connor doing this in a position to full-time look after your interests, because this stuff is... This affects you, man. Come on back. We'll talk more with Connor. You got questions for him? 801-254-5855. All right, guys. Jake Shannon Radio Show. We've got the Boyack Review in early today. Got Connor on the line. Connor, you still there with us?
I am, sir.
Okay, hold on. I got a caller. Let me bring him in real quick. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Lynette.
Hi, Lynette. What, did you have a question?
Well, yeah. I wish he would repeat his contact information at website. I guess I can get it at the library, right? Very slowly. And I appreciate, I didn't know where I could go to find out what's going on, you know, at the Capitol and how I can help. So that would be really a big help.
Do you have a pen and a paper?
I do.
Okay. Connor, you know info better.
Yeah, so the website, our organization's name is the Libertas Institute, and Libertas is like the word liberty, but instead of a Y at the end, you put A-S, Libertas Institute, and our website is simply libertasutah.org.
And all right,
if you go to libertasutah.org/tracker, that's where you'll find all of this legislation that we're looking at, and you can get the updates about, you know, what things are being passed, which committees and such.
Okay, so it's L-A-B-E-R-T-A?
L-I-B-E-R-T-A-S, like Liberty, L-I-B-E-R-T-A-S, Utah.org.
All right, thank you.
And then sure, thank you for the call. And then also be sure to go to /tracker, and then you can get all this information that Connor's relaying to us, essentially. Is that right?
Well, and Lynette brings up an important point. We need, you know, more people up at the legislature speaking their mind. Primarily up there, we encounter lobbyists, people who are employed to represent their employer's interests. And very infrequently will you find citizen activists who are interested in a certain bill. Now, of course, when we had the gun bills, those committee meetings were packed because, you know, we put the word out and people are really passionate about that, so they come out. But there are so many bills that just slip through the cracks and no one pays attention to. No one, you know, it doesn't directly confront people's liberty enough for them to be concerned about it, but it does violate their liberty. And so, by all means, please, you know, whether it's on our website, whether it's on the legislature's website, which is le.utah.gov, the very handy and easy-to-use website, follow what's going on. Find the bills that interest you. Come up to the Capitol. You know, if you're haven't done it before, you'd like to know how to do it, where to go, how to, you know, speak your mind, drop us an email. Go to our website, libertasutah.org. You can click contact us and just let us know that you're interested, and we've got some information we can give you to help you, you know, get up there, speak your mind, and take part in the process.
Yeah, so we touched on the good, and then you said we got the bad and the ugly.
How limited the good is.
Yeah,
now, there are other good bills. In fact, I'll mention one here in a little bit. Let me now touch on some bills topically. Licensure, occupational licensure, is a very big issue. Many of your listeners will recall the case late last year with Justina Clayton from Sierra Leone, a woman who was doing African hair braiding, and the state said that she had to go to a cosmetology school for 2,000 hours to obtain a cosmetology license and to braid hair when the schools don't even teach it, and if they do, it's hardly at all, so she has to get all this unrelated schooling. So she sued. She ended up winning. She was represented by the great Institute for Justice, a libertarian national organization that fights for liberty through the court system primarily, and she won her case. And so, unfortunately, that case was limited only to her. It didn't strike down any laws generally, but it did provide a sufficient basis for legislators to then realize, okay, we need to now revise the law. So there is a bill that was worked out that completely now exempts hair braiders from the cosmetology license. It also reduces that licensure requirement for cosmetologists from 2,000 hours to 1,600. So it is a reduction in the licensure burden. It does completely exempt hair braiders. These are good things. And so that bill passed the legislative committee unanimously and will now go to the House generally. And so that is just one of several licensure-related bills that have been heard or will be heard before the legislature. What's interesting here...
And the other thing that's nice about this is proof positive that if you push back, it doesn't mean you're going to totally win, but you can. They will cede ground if you just push back.
And keep in mind, too, along that point, is the state had to pay, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 to defend the state in court against a woman who simply wants to hair braid. And the judge smacked the state down and said, are you kidding me? You're trying to license this? This is ridiculous. This is among the most, you know, basic of constitutional freedoms that should be protected. And so the state got a black eye, and they had to pay out all this money that doesn't look good to legislators.
But let's be honest. It's not they. It's you and me end up paying.
Correct. Correct. Thank you for correcting my terminology. You're absolutely right.
I mean, I'm with you. Yeah, they lost, they suck, and it was a cost. But then what's even worse about that is that we're the ones who have to end up paying.
It is, and that's silly. Although there are so many people who clamor for money, especially the education industry, that when the state has to fork out, you know, $200,000, that gets a lot of people wrinkled who say that money could have gone to my special program. So it at least gets right. enough people upset that they can then maybe address that problem. So the licensure bill passed committee. There are several other occupations as well that are the target of licensure, either increasing licensure or removing it. For example, Senator Knudsen had a bill early this session that would have required occupational licensure for HVAC contractors. That's heating, venting, and air conditioning. They're not currently licensed, and his bill would have required that. Well, when I show up at 8 a.m. to this committee meeting where they're hearing the bill, and it turns out he had introduced a substitute bill. Basically, he had amended his own bill, and he completely gutted licensure, completely. All these lines were stricken from his bill. And what he said in the committee meeting was, you know, I realized coming into this I did not have enough votes. And so his bill was totally watered down to this just completely irrelevant, you know, side issue. And so he gutted his bill. That was a fantastic thing. It's another win for licensure. But by no means is that happening across the board. There was a bill that was advanced that requires lawyers to be licensed by the state. So you represent yourself as understanding the law and wanting to defend maybe your neighbor, and your neighbor wants to compensate you for your time, that is illegal to do, which is silly because you're able to represent yourself in court, right? And that still exists under the law. If you have that right, you should be able to delegate that right to another. The authority to represent you, you should be able to delegate to another. Whether you employ him or not, whether you compensate him financially or not, is completely irrelevant to the delegation question. And yet the state comes in and says, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. It can happen as long as it's free and no money is exchanged. But as soon as you give him a $100 bill or whatever, then that suddenly is wrong and illegal. And so that licensure requirement sailed through and is going through as well. There's a funeral services one, right? These are the people who are in charge of the mortuary, and you lose a loved one, and they take care of the viewing and all that. The funeral services industry generally, and everyone involved in that industry, is currently licensed. Well, there was a sunset for 2018 that said, okay, this licensure requirement is going to be gone in 2018. Well, they came back this year, and they asked for that to be repealed, which would continue their licensure indefinitely in perpetuity. And that is passing easily as well. They're claiming that, well, we're touching dead bodies, and we need to be licensed because we don't want, you know, just anyone being able to come off the street and handle dead bodies, because who knows what would happen. And so much of the licensure conversation is based on fear like that. The hair braiders, right, they came out and said that, well, there's going to be rampant lice and HIV and all the, you know, we touch all these people's heads. And it's always based on fear. So there's a lot of licensure going on. Anesthesiologist assistants, they're going to be the subject of a licensure bill.
Wait, an anesthesiologist assistant?
Assistant, just the assistant, yeah. You know, but currently anesthesiologists are already licensed. This is just broadening the scope to target their assistants now as well. So licensure is a big thing, but there's some good news that I wanted to talk about in relation to that. It's actually scheduled for a committee hearing later today. Whether it will actually be heard or get bumped to a meeting later this week remains to be seen. But this is another bill run by Representative Green, Brian Green out of Pleasant Grove. He's a freshman legislator and one of the more liberty-minded ones that we've got. His bill is House Bill 75, and this bill deals with licensure. Now, what it does is it basically provides a benchmark for the state to use when determining whether and how licensure and regulation should be imposed. It basically, right now, whatever legislators want to regulate and license, they're completely able to, based on whatever this fear-mongering I talk about or whatever reason, their own whim, they can go ahead and do it. This bill would introduce into the state code a benchmark saying that licensure or regulation can only be imposed, can only be required in the limited instances in which the public safety or health is sufficiently threatened that would, you know, render this necessary. And if the legislature does in fact deem that this, you know, occupation does require this regulation because it has to do with public health, then the regulation that is imposed, this bill would say, HB 75, says that it must be the most narrow and focused and limited regulation required to achieve that objective. Now, you and I would disagree on the conservatives and the liberals and everyone else in the legislature on what actually threatens public safety and whether a law is required and even effective in combating that threat.
Right.
Nevertheless, it introduces a very narrow benchmark so that people like Justina Clayton can go back and fight the state and say, look, I'm currently licensed and regulated, but this has nothing to do with public health and safety, and now state law says that any regulation I comply with has to follow this. So now I can file suit. I can use this law, if HB 75 passes, as my benchmark, and then I have this data here to show that my, you know, this regulation has nothing to do with public safety, so let's get it struck down by the court. This provides the courts with a basis upon which they can judge whether all these regulations and licensure does in fact advance and protect and, you know, help people in providing for the public safety. So that is a good benchmark to introduce. It's going to be a good leverage point. It remains to be seen whether it has enough support. I think we're going to see some amendments that will slightly tweak it, but it does, in light of the Justina Clayton case, state kind of having this black eye, it does allow legislators to say, well, you know what, maybe this would be a good idea because right now there's nothing that can protect us, whereas this being introduced into law would provide a basis upon which we can determine whether these regulations are necessary. So it's a common sense bill. It's a very broad bill because it tentatively and theoretically applies to licensure generally, regulation generally. But it's a very common sense level-headed thing that does make some concessions, that does say, okay, fine, we'll tolerate regulations for the public health, you know, aspect. But by limiting it only to that, that can then be used to go against the low-hanging fruit, against all these occupations, like funeral services. Come on, they're already dead.
Yeah.
Is there a worry about harming these people, you know? And so it allows us to go against the low-hanging fruit and try and combat it, whether through the courts and with the help of organizations like the Institute for Justice or through other remedies. It finally provides a basis upon which this can be battled, whereas right now it's just the legislature says it must be done this way, therefore that's the way it is. This introduces a leverage point that can be used to fight back against it.
I'm glad that you are doing this because, I mean, for so long it's you know, we do live in a culture where division of labor is necessary. I mean, it's just how things happen. And so I'm glad that you're able to devote yourself and that it's somebody that does take a principled approach, as you do, to these matters. So people want to check it out. It's libertasutah.org. And again, spelling it out, LIBERTAS, Utah.org, right?
Yeah, and please, you know, drop us a line. Let us know what we can do to help you fight the, you know, fight the bad bills up here. We'd love to get people up at the Capitol speaking in committee. You know, I've been the minority in too many meetings speaking against bad bills, so we'd love some help. It would be a really good thing to get people more involved.
Awesome. Good work, Connor. Thank you so much. Guys, check them out. Again, libertasutah.org. And with that, Connor, thank you, man. We're at the top of the hour already.
Thanks, Jake. See ya.
Okay. Take care. Keep on the good fight.